Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome back to the not-so-regular at the moment talk from the terrace. We had Rennie on before the Bodo game, a Norwegian Celtic fan who filled us in on Bodo and enlightened us, really. Gave us, a few home truths that we found out during boat legs, especially the second leg, I thought, over there. I didn't think we put in much of a performance at all. But anyway, folks, if you're watching on YouTube, on the Celtic Fanzine TV, please subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. I know some of our older viewers and listeners think the hill subscription is money. Now you just click it there, it's free. Hit the alarm button, you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on audio, you're very welcome back. We're on the Celtic Soul podcast platform. You can get us on Spotify, Apple, Acast, or whatever your preferred platform is. And if you want to support us or sponsor a podcast, you can get all the information at CelticFanzine.com, or you can email us at info@CelticFanzine.com, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. And the new fanzine will be out, this digital will be out this week, print will be out next week. It's going to be about a day or two late because of St. Patrick's Day, and we also have in Ireland a second bank holiday on Friday, which is for the reopening after COVID lockdown. So we've no restrictions anymore, really, here. And it's getting a bit better in Glasgow as well, because I was told in the airport that I won't need a mask in a week in Glasgow Airport this morning. So I just want to welcome my guest today, a regular on the show, and we haven't spoken in a while, Matt McGlone from The Alternative View, editor. And I know they have a new issue coming out because I've seen them whining and dining with Peter Grant on social media, yourself and young Declan looking very dapper with Mr. Grant, who always seems to look well, still has that 80s throwback look about him. Matt, you're very welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Doing great. Life's pretty decent, well, from what we can make of it. And Celtic-wise, it's particularly good. So, yeah, good.
And how's the health, Matt?
My health is good. My sort of major health thing is fine. I've had this thing called plantar fasciitis for about 6 weeks, which I don't know if you've ever had it.
I can't even pronounce it.
It's an injury you get in your foot. And well, apparently athletes get it. Don't know why.
That rules me out.
So the doctor says generally people that do a lot of walking and running get it. But it's murder. I've had it for about 6 weeks. It's quite difficult to walk. But apart from that, no mourning, just got on with it.
Yeah, there's enough mourning to be done by other people. Matt, I was in Dundee last night. We're recording this Tuesday. Hopefully go out Wednesday. I was in Dundee last night. I thought we played well on the pitch. I thought Dundee United, Matt, were a little... I suppose if I was Dundee United fan, I'd be disappointed because they gave us a couple of good games this season, but we seem to be in control for most of the night, and it kind of backfired them not giving us the shed end, because they, although they had their ultras in it last night, and you know, if I was a Dundee United fan, I'd want to be in there. But there was an awful lot of empty seats at the start of the game, and there was even more empty seats by the end of it.
Yeah, well, a couple of things there. On the fan issue, I mean, I'm quite old-fashioned, and I just think that there should be as many fans as possible in a football ground. For the home support and what is given to the away support, quite easily last night, you know, like Livingston did, created a fantastic atmosphere. They could just, you know, ask their fans politely if they don't mind moving for one game, because they might not like it. And I can understand a fan, you know, not being too happy at being moved. But they lost £2.5 million last year in their accounts. So this is an opportunity to catch up on some of that. And it was £27 a ticket, you know, to get fans in there. I think you can squeeze, well, I don't, what does the shed end hold? Probably about 1,200, maybe a bit more than that.
And it wasn't, you know, full last night either.
No, it wasn't. And all the other parts of the Dundee United ground weren't full either. The big main stand that runs across the park and the one behind the opposite goal, that wasn't full. So, you know, I just think that I do understand why fans don't want to be moved. I get that totally. And you can't force somebody. But I think if you explain it to them, you know, that this is money and we badly need money, because they, you know, as in them, because £2.5 million lost last year. If they did that this year, that's £5 million. I mean, as we know, clubs can't survive doing that. On the park, I think Celtic stopped Dundee United creating anything. I think, you know, if you look at the first goal, you know, Celtic crowded around quite a lot of players just around the penalty box area. And Dundee United players marked all our players, apart from Callum McGregor. And, you know, what a nice goal, just slaughtered away. Okay, it took a bit of a deflection. And, of course, when you watch the playback later on in the sports scene, they don't have to remind, don't have like telling you and reminding you that there was two deflections in the game. But who cares? You know, the ball's going in, so whether it would in or not, it doesn't really matter. That's football. You know, we've lost goals with deflections and bad decisions. So, you know, I think Dundee United, I think they missed Tony Watt last night. They missed a target man. And but Celtic, I felt, were immense. If you were a Dundee United fan, you'd be thinking they'd put up a better show. But, you know, a lot of credit should be given to the way Ange sets his team up. It kind of stops other teams playing. And I think we controlled the game from start to finish. And, you know, we're unlucky not to score more goals. Plus the goal that Maeda scored should have been a goal. Beaton, you know, John Beaton, there you go. What can we make of John Beaton? Disallowed a goal which within the rules was a goal.
Well, it's not the first time Brother Beaton has been at the involved in controversy while refereeing any team from Glasgow.
I know, it's just like, you know, you can get yourself tied up in knots about refereeing decisions, but I like Angie's approach. He never discusses it. He never says right or wrong. He just goes with the flow. And, you know, that's to be admired. Fans, of course, can vent their frustrations a bit more. But we've seen enough over the years. I mean, my entire lifetime of watching Celtic, I've seen some unexplained decisions. Not talking about referees making mistakes. Talking about that doesn't make sense. You know, why make that kind of call? But, you know, we're a good team now. And as Ange says, we just focus. We don't let it put us off the game. And that's important, that the team don't lose concentration over a bad call. No point in sitting thinking about something that you can't alter. You know, I'm a great believer in life, and that the only things you can alter in life are the things that you can alter and take control of yourself. You know, a decision against you in a football game, you can't take control of that. And, you know, Celtic stayed focused on the job, got the job done.
Yeah, professional job, all right, Matt. Matt, we know Jota last night, no Abada. But yeah. if you mentioned Livingston there and how they invited us in to pay for tickets and to fill the stadium, and what a great, that was a great afternoon, great atmosphere. And it also gives some fans a chance who may not get to away games an opportunity to purchase an away ticket. So that, but Jota that day, I thought, was back to his best. And mm-hmm. I thought James Forrest had a brilliant game. And he's kind of been, I think Ange kind of he went for a lot of the old guard that day. There was a lot of players there. You know, the five players that were there before he came in, the ones that survived as Cull, they all played and contributed a lot that day. So, you know, coming to the run-in, I asked Ange at one of the press conferences recently how important these players were that have been there before, and he said a very important part of his plans and his thinking. So, you know, he had faith in them that day, and I think the squad now is ready now. It's strong, and I think with each week that passes, and each week he's getting time there, because I think we've only won more midweek game during the split, so like it's one game and then a week to prepare.
Yeah, I felt last week was important that Celtic had a proper opportunity to prepare. I spoke to a couple of ex-Celtic players last week, and they said you should never undermine the importance or underestimate the importance of having a free week. Because when you're playing midweek, you know, if you're not travelling, then you're focused on another game, and you don't get your focus on the weekend game until that game's out the way, which generally is the Friday morning. Celtic play Europa League Thursday night. The players get a day off on Friday. They're not back until Saturday. They could well be travelling on Saturday if it's Aberdeen, Inverness, you know, around there, Ross County. So I think it was important. The team looked very fresh last night. I felt there was a wee bit of jadedness sort of creeping in, you know, prior to Livingston. And only due to the amount of games that are played, you've got to understand that. And as you know, I've always said I could have done without Europe this year, because I didn't think we had the team for it, which has been the case. And my number one focus, and I'm sure everybody's, is the league championship, to get our title back. And I felt that Europe, you know, was a hindrance with a squad which was, you know, still to be built. Against Rangers, we had 9 Ange signings starting the game, and we had another 3 on the bench. You know, last night we'd scored 101 goals prior to the game last night, and we had 4 players out who scored 49 of those goals: Jota, Abada, Turnbull and Kyogi. Now, to go into an important game at Tannadice, you know, with those sort of players missing, you know, that doesn't matter how good a squad Celtic have got, and we've seen, you know, with a few injuries how it can be weakened when you have a look at the bench where we've got several injuries. But I think, you know, to play the way we played and to, you know, to have a settled style of playing and an intensity with those 4 players out who have scored 49 of 101 goals up until last night, I think that says a lot.
Yeah, it does. And as you say, the league is the important one, Matt. I think it's the priority for everybody. But we've a massive cup game coming up at Hampden, and like, we want to win it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was talking about Europe, you know, we could have done without. Yeah, I mean, the treble is on. Why not?
Too early to talk about that. It's too early to talk about that, man.
No, I'm not actually talking about the treble, but you mentioned the cup. So yeah, the cup is part of the treble. I'm only mentioning it for that reason. And that's a very important game against them at Hampden. I don't have any fear, no fear whatsoever of playing them, because I've got great faith in the manager. I've got great faith in his psychology. I love the way he sets his team up. I love the way he speaks to the press. I love the way he just does things. And you think that with the attitude that we see on screen, you can imagine what it must be like in the dressing room when you're feeding off a guy like that, who's so positive, so focused, so determined, and knows exactly what he wants. Ange, for me, I can't think of an introduction, you know, for such a long time, maybe back to Martin O'Neill times, an introduction as a Celtic manager making such a difference.
And the way he deals with the press is so refreshing. I listened to one of the press conferences, I think it was the one before the Dundee United game, which I think was last Friday. And he was asked about Steve Clark having a friendly coming up for Scotland, and, you know, his players, would he want them not to go because it was a friendly? And he said, no. He said, I hope all my players are called up. He said, I want, you know, it's the greatest honour you have when you retire, you know, there's two things you'll be asked. There won't be about how much money you earned. You'll be asked was, what did you win and did you play for your country? And like I think the press were expecting a completely different answer, where they could put a spin on it that he didn't want his players playing international football. You know, he was an international manager. I just loved that. I just kind of had a little smirk when he said it, you know, because...
No, you're right. The press were expecting a different answer. The press were expecting Ange to say, no, I'd rather have my players here and focus on Celtic. He didn't give them that headline.
Yeah.
He's too smart. He's miles ahead. He sees it coming and he, you know, he answers it genuinely. As you say, the fact that he was an international manager, then he can see both sides of the fence. And, you know, yeah, I think the guy's fantastic.
Yeah, I was talking to JP last night, on Monday night, and I never said to him, what's the story on the game at Ibrox? Are we taking tickets or are we not taking tickets?
Well, Rangers had come out and they had made that statement. They made the statement. I suppose they wanted to be the sort of breakers of the news, that both teams would be taking was 800 or 900 tickets each. And then Celtic had come out and says that they made, a couple of days later, they came out and said Celtic made the decision on how many tickets to take for home or how many fans they let in. So it seems to be unclear at the minute. You know, I think there obviously was talks, because I don't think Rangers would have come out and said that, you know, had they not spoken to Celtic. They were obviously out of order coming out and speaking about it, because if anything, it should have been a joint statement. You know, you don't have one club announcing what's happening when it's the business of another club. You know, if they'd said something and we'd said something round about the same time, that's what they do on the websites. They release information bang on a certain time. If a player's sold, you know, the selling team and the buying team will release a, you know, a simultaneous press release by internet. So that kind of thing could have been done. Rangers were very untidy the way they handled it. I think they wanted to be, we're deciding this. But at the end of the day, they don't decide it. They don't decide anything to do with Celtic. So it still seems to be unclear. Celtic haven't made a statement yet, as we speak, as to whether they're taking tickets or not.
So, yeah, so it's still up in the air, because people were saying to me, like, if you get a ticket, you're going to go. And I'm going, well, I said, I don't think we're... going to get tickets. I don't think we're taking tickets. So, yeah, it's kind of, there's a bit of, it's very grey area, let's just say, at the moment. I wish they would come out and say, because for the lucky ones who won't be many, but there will be some tickets coming to Ireland. You know, the lads need to book flights or ferries or whatever. I wish they would come out and say, look, we're taking 900 or we're not taking 900.
Yeah, well, it's going to have to be soon, isn't it? Because it's 2 weeks away now. Yeah.
We played them 3 times in 4 weeks, Matt. But then we had also we didn't have an announcement. We had the press saying that we're going to be playing Rangers in this friendly tournament in Australia. Celtic have come out and said they're playing the tournament in Australia. I haven't heard them saying that, I haven't heard confirmation that we're playing Rangers, but the media seem to think it's a done deal. And I think behind closed doors, board members have told people that we will be playing them and it's worth a lot of money. A strange one. To want to be playing them in a friendly when they're our arch rivals, especially when we are, look, we can all do with more money, but we are in a much better position financially. So why would we want to help them?
I don't understand it, to be honest with you. Celtic can draw a crowd wherever they go. They don't have to play Rangers. You know, Celtic have played, you know, friends against Benfica, you know, years ago in foreign lands. And you know, Celtic can draw a crowd anywhere. Celtic have a huge support in Australia. I don't understand it. It's obviously for money. From Angie's point of view, you know, it's an opportunity for him to go home. He has said that you know, he's going to be very proud to lead Celtic back to Australia. Probably his first time going home. If he manages to get a couple of weeks in the summer, I wouldn't imagine he would, because it's a very short, close season. But yeah, it is for money. But when you think about it, And if you, I suppose if you're a Celtic fan living across there, I'm talking about us, if you're a Celtic fan living across there, it's an opportunity to see Celtic playing. Now, whether you ask an Australian-based Celtic fan, do they want to see Celtic play Benfica, Real Madrid, Barcelona, in a friendly, or do they want to see them playing Rangers, they'd probably just say, you know, any day, you know, just to see them. Or maybe some would prefer not to play Rangers. I suppose there'll be a mixture there. But, it's obviously for money. Playing them in a friendly, is it going to be a friendly? You know, it's not going to be a friendly. Plus, who's going to be playing? No, this is in the middle of the World Cup. You know, Scotland have got a great chance of being there. Plus, we've got players in other countries who will be there. So you wonder what kind of team's going to get put out. But the whole thing is, to me, it's just showbiz. You know, I don't like the taste of it. It's showbiz. Then again, I don't live there. You know, if I lived there, I'd maybe want to see my team. You know, the whole thing looks a bit untidy to me.
Yeah, when I got the press release from Celtic's media department, I sent an email back asking a number of questions. And I've had no reply. And I didn't expect a reply. But I'm disappointed that they didn't say, look, we can't speak about this or we can't speak about that. But so then I contacted some of the Australian-based fans in different clubs. They all want to see Celtic coming. One lad had told me that he knows that they're playing Rangers there's months. He's a businessman over there. He's done well for himself, and he seemed to know a lot more than anyone else. Then I spoke to one of the boys from the Sydney Supporters Club, and he said he's got mixed feelings, and it's not only because he said it's what you said, Matt. It's what players are they going to bring? Because like a lot of the players will be at World Cups, and if players need a rest, they're not going to bring them to Australia. So, but I think the general consensus among the fans is, yeah, we want to see Celtic over here. We want to, you know, because especially with COVID, because you know, maybe they go home. I met one last night. I met one of the Sydney boys last night. He was at the match. It's the first time he's been home in a couple of years. And I'd met him in Thailand when we'd done the festival in Thailand. That was the last time I seen him when they had to leave on the Wednesday, I think it was, to get back into Australia, or they would have been locked out. And they're kind of saying, yeah, it's going to be great. But I don't think it's going to compare to them getting home to a game like a cup game like last night. So it's kind of cabaret football, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. That's what I said. It's showbiz. You know, the fan over there does want to see his team. And, you know, whoever's running it is making money from, obviously, gate money. They're making money from having the team appear at certain functions and things. And it's bound to be a pay-per-view. There's no doubt about that. It's probably, I would imagine, a pay-per-view. And, you know, you and I are sitting here talking about it, saying it's a bit untidy, not really into it. But when it comes around to the time and the game's on the telly and it's whatever to pay it, you know, you're going to say you're not going to watch it. You know, it's just, you know, you got to take all these things into consideration. But it's obviously for money. If there's an upside to this, and there is an upside because Ange is going to feel very proud taking Celtic back to his home country. So that's an upside. There's no doubt about that. If there's another upside is that, you know, we're rumoured to be getting $5.5 million and they're rumoured to be getting $2.5-3 million for doing the same thing. So that, you know, that's quite funny. You know, and it's been billed as Angie's homecoming tournament.
Well, they're
obviously spitting feathers.
Well, I have to say it has it's not very often that we are united with our neighbours, but I think most of them were united on this one. It's a charade. But I saw a brilliant one on Facebook from Franny that runs the bus out of Bar 67 to the European Games, Franny Mullen, and it just says bus to Australia. He says leaving Ross Kent again.
Leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, bus to Australia, leaving after the Ross County game. Brilliant.
That's quite good. Well,
brilliant.
You're always relying on Celtic fans for
sure, can't you? Yeah, well, look, it's just, and you know what, kind of like, that's the difference between kind of Facebook and Twitter. You know, Franny put that on Facebook, while on Twitter, everybody was going bananas.
I mean, they're obviously spitting feathers because, you know, they don't want it either. And the very fact it's billed as Angie's homecoming tournament, you know, and nobody has denied that we seem to be getting the lion's share of the dosh, you know.
But anyway, before that, we've more, I'm glad we got a laugh out of it anyway.
We got a laugh out of it, yeah.
But yeah, so we've Ross County this week, Matt. We've St Johnstone, you know, we've Ibrox, we've the split. Every game's going to be massive, and it's an enjoyable ride.
Can you hear me? You're frozen there.
We're back. Just, I think some a little bit of an internet problem there, but we're back. Yeah, I was just saying, like,
we've got eight games to go. It's a countdown. The old-fashioned saying, every game's a cup final. Two right it is. And, you know, Celtic get into this game very confident, buoyant. You know, the crowds are going to be right up for it. The crowd, the game was sold out. You know, obviously, you and I are season ticket holders, but, you know, for those buying a ticket for the game, it was sold out last week. You know, for against Ross County. So that just shows you the fever that is out there amongst the fans. You know, I've often sat and thought, and been on my own, sitting thinking, if we win this league, I mean, the adulation to watch Ange Postecoglou is just going to be unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And I had a bad dream last night, actually. Had a dream we were in a pub in Coatbridge, him and there was another journalist there, and Ange had said, right guys, you guys are the first to know. He says, I'm going and I'm not coming back. You know what, dreams, it's a bit scattered, but I remember sort of pleading with him, running after him, so I said, no, don't.
And you were so full.
Even the sore foot. I have to say, Andy's listening to this. They say Andy's got plantar fasciitis in her heel. If you've had it and there's a cure that I don't know about, go and get in touch.
Well, if anyone can spell it, we give them a free t-shirt.
If you get this cured, I'll post you a free t-shirt, right? Of your choice.
but like, it's see the interest in Ireland. Like, If it can rewind back when Ronnie Delia was there, like, you could get a ticket for any away game. You could get, you know, there wasn't a demand. Like, we were going over to away games. You could count the people you were meeting on planes on one hand. Even like league games, we were struggling to we kept our season books, but we were struggling to get our season books holders sometimes to use them. You know, that kind of way, they just weren't travelling the way they were. And now, Matt, right, like, Livingston, I think we flew out of Edinburgh, in and out of Edinburgh. Yeah, we did. Now, you've also got the flights into Glasgow. The plane was like, now, the plane... Hold on a minute, Matt, I'm just losing. Can you hear me? Yeah, grand. So, yeah, so the plane was half full of Celtic fans. That was going to an away game. But the one that stuck out for me recently was the midweek game against St Mirren. Flew into Glasgow. The airport was full. The bar was full of Celtic fans. It was like going on a European night, a Champions League night. And it was St Mirren in the league. That's the Ange factor. It was...
Yeah, well, you see, that's the fever pitch thing. You know yourself, with Celtic, we go through periods in our history when things are flat. And then we go through periods in our history, you know, when Martin came in the 6-2 game, and, you know, when Brendan came in, he'd get some great results. and now Ange, and in between we've had kind of periods of flatness, and then of course we won the quadruple and the treble under Lenny. So you know there has been highs there, obviously great highs, but right now there's an excitement, there's an expectation, there's a build-up, there's a fever pitch attitude amongst fans. They don't want to miss anything. They feel part of the journey. They feel that we can. There's a real realistic hope here, you know, without showing signs of bravado over it. It's a real realistic hope here that we can lift this title. You know, we've held on to the lead. I heard one of their ex-players mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, Celtic have only been top of the league for 5 minutes. Who cares? You know, we started the season with you know, hardly any players, and then, you know, we built on them as the season went on, up to the first transfer window. And then we, you know, we got our act together a bit better in the second transfer window. But we're a new manager on his own, and we're only having two transfer windows. The fact is, we're ahead just now. We absolutely tanked them at Celtic Park. We absolutely tore them apart, and they know that. And they're sort of thinking, wondering now, Celtic are back. So, and we know how good we are. So, everything to play for. And I'm really excited. I can't wait till the next game comes along.
Yeah, and it will be Saturday and another full house, Ross County. It's just so heartening to see, Matt, because obviously, I know the COVID thing has played into it as well. People, you know, they'd had to wait so long to get back. And I'd say everyone has got back now that wants to get back, especially from these shows, maybe the ones overseas. But like, I felt sorry at Christmas, but Brock McVeigh came home at Christmas for a couple of games, and it was when we went back into lockdown. He'd flown home from New York. He was coming for 3 games. I just felt sorry for Brock, you know. That's just the way the cookie crumbled. There was no point in having it was the right decision at the time, because we all got back in to watch football then, and what would we be saying now if we had to miss that fantastic night in Celtic Park, 3-0?
Well, I mean, that's one of those ones, isn't it, that lives with you forever. You know, I've got victories in my head. I'm older than you, and I've got victories in my head which go way back. And the game against them the last time is up there. You know, I sit with my family, and I remember saying to my daughter and my two sons, you know, this is how I felt at halftime in the 6-2 game. You know, and that's 22 years ago. You know, it's as fresh in your memory as yesterday. Because it means so much to you. And when something means so much to you, it's very close in your head. It never leaves you. And that's that 3-0 at half-time took me back 22 years to the 6-2 game. And you're right. Fantastic. These are great memories.
Yeah, Matt, and just before we wrap up, you met Peter Grant there for an interview for the next issue of Alternative View. How's he doing? Yeah.
Aye, Peter's doing great. I think he's probably about 57, I think he is now. I mean, you can't think 3 years off 60 for Peter Grant. You know, he's lively. He tells me he goes to a game every week. And I say, do you phone up and, you know, ask if you go to see Motherwell and Hearts or whatever, did you phone up Motherwell and ask for a ticket? He says, no, he says, I just put my cap on, my mask on, and again, I sit in the crowd. So I just want to watch a game of football. And he also doesn't want to ask the club case, you know, the ticket they'll give him will be probably in the director's box. You know, he's sitting there, maybe a team in the bottom half of the league. You know, their manager might be in a dodgy position, and Peter Grant's sitting there in the director's box. You know, he doesn't want to put any manager under pressure, which is good. But I've known Peter since 1983. When he scored his first goal for Celtic, I was doing the photography behind the goals at the time, and I captured his very first goal. And I got in touch with him, and I went up to his house and met him in 1983 and gave him the picture. He's an Airdrie boy, that's where he's born and bred. And his first goal for Celtic was at the old Broomfield against Airdrie. And I've always kept in touch with him. You know, he's been at Norwich and West Ham. He's telling me some great stories. You know, Delia Smith, is it the woman that runs Norwich?
Yeah.
She's the cook, Delia Smith. He's telling some great stories there, and some great stories about Pardew at West Ham, and obviously Celtic. And I've got to tell you, you know, there's players that will come and go in Celtic, and you know, they'll say they love the club, and you know, most of them do. But Peter Grant is just like you and I. He just loves and breathes the club. And, you know, the fact that he's been in there as a player, he told me the heartbreaking way he left the club, which was quite touching. And, you know, coming back with Tony Mowbray as assistant manager, and his experiences there in then out again. And, you know, I know the politics when you're working in the club. I've been in there and the politics can be very difficult. And Peter still, like all of us, retains a great love for Celtic. He's an absolute diehard. I've got to say, an absolute, really nice guy, very special guy. He's doing a question and answer at Gracie's on April the 1st with Frank McAvaney. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but that's on a Friday night. I can imagine the crack between those two. I mean, you know Maca well, like I do. And, you know, if Mac is ever serious about anything, it's for about 5 minutes out of that entire day.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
No, maybe not even 5 minutes.
I'm looking forward to reading the interview. I see young Declan was with you as well. I met him last night coming out of the ground as well.
Aye. Declan is in his final year at Strathclyde doing journalism and politics. And a couple of years ago, we had a chat about, you know, he was talking about he expressed an interest in doing the interviews. And I had to think about it, and I thought, well, I've probably done about 150, maybe more than that, interviews with, you know, players, ex-players, people from the pop world, actors, politicians. You know, did the president of Albania, the first time I've interviewed a president. So, you know, I've had my fill of interviews. And I could carry on doing them. But, you know, Declan expressed an interest and, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for him because, you know, I said to him, you know, when you do your final year at uni, you know, on your resume will be all these interviews that you've done. You know, he's 22 years of age. He's interviewed David Heyman, you know, the Scottish actor who's been in over 60-odd films. He's interviewed Paddy Crerand, Lisbon Lion John Fallon, Celtic captain Jackie McNamara, Lenny Murdoch out of River City, Frank Gallagher, and now Peter Grant. And, you know, for a lad at Declan's age, I think it's a great opportunity, and he's taken it with both hands. He is very, very calm in front of all these guys. You know, sometimes, you know, in my early days, I used to get a wee bit nervous about interviewing people. You know, and I've been doing this for 32 years now. But Declan takes all on his stride. He's very good. And I always say to him, the great thing about an interview is to get the right answer. And the only way you get the right answer is if you ask the right question. Don't ask run-of-the-mill questions. Ask about the person. Ask about how they feel. Ask about their emotions, what Celtic means to them, and ask other things along those lines. It's not about what was your favourite this, your favourite that, you know, is your chicken your favourite dinners, you know, what was your favourite goal, you know, all those things get bland answers. You know, and when he spoke to Peter, you could see Peter Grant's love and his emotion and his real feeling coming through for Celtic.
Yeah, he's a sponge, Declan, as well. I remember he came to all the early Celtic AMs, and I think he was still in school at the time, and you could see he was really interested. He'd sit up the front and he'd listen, and he'd probably pick up a few tips or a few bad habits that, from myself or whoever I was interviewing, and he wrote a little bit for us as well, and you'd know he was starting on his writing journey then, and to see him now doing interviews and that, you can see the progression he's made. And I think he's doing one of the days on the Celtic State of Mind as well, so that'll be a good experience for him as well.
Yeah, you know, everything for a lad that's not come out of university yet, as you say, doing podcasts, doing interviews, writing in your magazine, writing the Alternative View, and he does various other things as well. you know, to have that on your CV, you know, before you've left uni, and to be very accomplished as you do it. I mean, you'd think that most media people would snap somebody like him up. He's got a head start on, yeah, you know, everybody else. You know, he's got contacts, and, well, he doesn't have the contacts. So I've got the contacts, and he sort of does the interviews, but he's building up contacts himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a head start in his job. I think media-wise, somebody that's beneficial and could be doing with somebody who's really keen and focused on their job, you wouldn't look beyond him.
Yeah, well, hopefully when he comes out of uni, he gets the break he needs, because there is some good young talent out there in the fan media scene. Anthony Joseph came through our fanzine when he was a student. He went on the right for the newspapers. He's won awards. He started with local newspaper in Aberdeen, moved to the tabloids, and then he's with Sky Sports now. So, yeah, there's a great path. The path that wasn't there for us, man.
No, well, you know, for you and I, there was no path.
There was no university, by the
way. No, not for me, there wasn't anyway.
the university of life.
I can't wait to get out of school. I think half my teachers were opening the doors and they went out for me. No, it's there was no path then. It's different days now.
Yeah,
and,
sure is.
You know, in those days, you know, the alternative view and the inspiration for me writing in magazines was actually watching how Not The View was done. You know, Not The View came out in the early 80s, which is a great magazine. And that's what captured my imagination. I probably wouldn't have got involved in anything if I hadn't been involved and, you know, been interested in writing about things. And, you know, the fanzine market was started by Not The View. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I always thought, you know, I wonder if I could do that, you know, and I actually used to stand and sell it on, you know, in the street corner up at the Gallagate and up near the old forge, used to sell it from there. And then about 1990, I tried my hand at it myself, right? But, you know, these were inspirations. You know, the guys, Not The View, was a trailblazer. Good inspiration. And, you know, that's where I picked up from. Declan's picking up from wherever. And that's great. But back to those days, it was cut and paste in the kitchen, cutting out pictures in the paper and typing on a typewriter or a word processor. And chopping up the text and sticking
man,
it down.
Man, it was a typewriter back then, because I remember when more processors came out. Yeah, but like, it's funny who cut the teeth in fanzines, because I had Bobby Bluebell on the Celtic Soul podcast Friday week.
Yeah, he did a music one. I watched that. That was very good. I know Bobby.
Brilliant. But he started off with a fanzine as well. That's how he got into the rock and roll world. So it's a great way to get into... for me, I started off writing in music fanzines. I started with music fanzines because I couldn't play an instrument, and I just wanted to be part of the scene, you know. And that was really it. And that was one way in, was fanzines.
And I watched the interview that he did with Bobby. It's very good.
He's a good guy.
Bobby's a lovely guy. I've known him a long, long time, and you know, his bandmate Ken McCluskey was obviously a roommate in Kiev in 1986. But, you know, won't go back into all that story again. We were taken hostage, then I was allowed to go, then I reintroduced myself back into a hostage situation. First time Andy's ever done that.
That's brilliant. Brilliant.
Just so that he could get out of the car. No, but Bobby, yeah, I read that and I knew he had been involved, but when he explained it a bit more on your podcast, you know, he's a lovely guy, Bobby, a very talented writer, and a very easygoing, laid-back guy. Yeah. He doesn't display the star quality, you know, I'm this, I'm that. He doesn't do any of that.
I think,
you know,
that's Glasgow, Bob.
You know, he's just, well, Glasgow keeps you grounded.
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah.
You're not going to walk about here with a big head.
Oh, that's for sure. Listen, Matt, it's been great to chat again, because it's been a while since you've been on, and we used to be on quite regularly. But hopefully we get you on a bit more now because we're a bit more settled now. It was kind of a bit mad when the lockdown finished. We got back to real work and we hadn't much time for the Celtic stuff. And so now it's settling out now. We kind of know what the week is, what work we have in, and then what time we have for Celtic. So, and plus there's no midweek games now. So
we've got
more time. I'm
pleased that Celtic are going to have a bit more time to prepare now. I think all of us, are aware of the benefits of that. Great things to look forward to from here on in. And, when Ange came in the door, we were wondering who this guy was. And my goodness, we don't have to know who he is now. And he's got us all very focused, all very excited, as you said earlier on, about, in days gone by when we couldn't fill the stadium. Now the stadium for Ross County is selling out 2 weeks before the game. It's absolutely fantastic. And it just shows you the fever pitch, the excitement that is amongst the Celtic fans at the minute. And as I say, we have nothing to fear from anybody. And, we should look forward to what's coming ahead. And we should enjoy it as well.
Yeah, it's so enjoyable.
I know when games get a bit edgy and time's moving on and, teams are playing with a packed defence, that doesn't seem like we're enjoying it. I said a second ago about enjoying it. I know that doesn't seem like enjoyment, but as you've seen, some of the last minute victories we've had, the explosion of relief. Where else would you hug a complete stranger and hold them tight?
Like the one that's, there's so many stick out, but the one that really sticks out is Ross County away, Tony Ralston and John Paul Taylor in the corner.
willing
the ball over.
I know. I remember we were lambasted for that pitch invasion, which was all good natured. And there's been several pitch invasions since, and they've all been put down as good natured. And there was one a couple of weeks ago up at Ross County, up at their end. They're all mostly kids that were all jumping on the park. But, we were lambasted for having a pitch invasion, how terrible it was, when it was just good-natured, done through sheer excitement. And is it not better to sort of spill out the crowd if it's jam-packed than to sort of be in it, as far as, as a safety aspect of it? But Tony Ralston, there's a guy worth a mention. And it really saddened to see that he wasn't in the Scotland squad. It was announced today for the upcoming internationals.
I haven't seen it, Matt. I haven't seen the team.
Aye. Matt O'Reilly's obviously in the under-21 squad for Denmark.
I saw that, all right. I've seen that popping up on social media.
That probably wouldn't have happened if he was still at MK Dons, but he's now got the platform. And I remember Matt saying when he came here that he came because he liked the style of play and there was money, maybe better money on offer down south. But the fact that, he liked the manager's psyche and of how he wanted to play the game. So, he's come up here and that's worked out well for him and the boys worked hard and now he's got his reward, which is great. I feel Tony Ralston, the most improved player at Celtic this year, without 100%. A shadow of doubt. Because he was much maligned. We all did it. I did it myself. I just thought, this guy's not Celtic class. But what a player he's turned into. And you can see a lot of that is down to sheer hard work, endeavour, fight, attitude, the will to win and the will to be in that team. And even now when he speaks, he says he's just happy to be part of the squad and he understands if he's not playing every week. What an asset to have. No big time Charlie attitude, no Johnny Big Bollocks, no... teams like Manchester United, they're full of them, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
They're full of them. Where we have the opposite psych. We have guys who are enjoying it and want to be there. Joe Hart has done it all at top level, international player for England, played in England, played in Rome, played in the Serie A. He's up here and he says, I'm just happy to be part of this squad. Now, see, when you hear these things, it tells you there's a family unity in there. It tells you that. See, if you get dropped and you're not playing, it's not that you're dropped, it's just that we're changing the team around a bit.
Yep.
We are very much part of the squad. Because any good football manager will tell you, it's not a team that wins a championship, it's a squad. It's a squad effort.
Yeah.
And if you play your part in that squad, no matter how big or how small, that's what's important. And Celtic have got that squad happy mentality, which for me is why it works. And it's for me why it doesn't work at other clubs, when some players are just so interested in the look themselves, how much they earn, and you know, all that kind of thing. And you can see it down south England, particularly at Man U. People ask, why can no manager get anything out of these players? You know, as far as, you know, they're winning games and losing games, but consistent success for the type of player they've got, and the, you know, the standard, their quality and what they're being paid, they're not getting anything like it. And I think when people wonder why we're doing it, is because we have a unity. And I think that's very important in football. That was Jock Steen's mantra. That was Sir Alex Ferguson's mantra. And Ange has got that attitude as well.
Well, the old saying goes, in Ange we trust, and we've certainly trusted him so far. He's been a breath of fresh air, and I suppose we've been blowing smoke up his ass on a number of these talks from the terraces, Matt, but it's only because he's brought that confidence back, that, you know, we have a swagger about us as fans, you know, mm-hmm. whereas last year we didn't. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's nothing but positive, and hopefully we can keep it going mm-hmm. because there's only so many games left, and each one is massive. It's going to be, and it's going to be like it's going to be, it's going to be great, man. It's, you know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, it's there's so much to look forward to. As I was saying earlier, I just love looking forward to the games now. And, you know, the anticipation. If you've got anticipation in life and excitement about something that's going to happen, your head is absolutely full. You're absolutely buzzing. Yeah. It's like the birth of your children. You know, one day you don't have a child. A couple of hours later you do. Something you've been looking forward to. You're excited. You've finally, you know, had a child, or, you know, whatever it is in life. That's just one example. But, you know, the excitement of looking forward to something, that's what we've got right now. And you can't buy that. You can't bottle it. You either have it through a club being run properly and by a manager who leads properly, and then the fans are falling on properly.
Matt, your love for the club is just coming out there, and I'm buzzing listening to you. So I think we'll just leave it at that, Matt, because I probably took too much of your time. I probably ran over because we haven't chatted for ages. But listen, talk to me soon. Get back on. I'll get you back on for another chat, because I think there's a few more twists and turns, as Tommy Bones would say, in this season, yeah?
Well, the late, great Tommy Burns, you know, in the 1988 Cup Final, as he was being interviewed, he said, looked up to the Celtic end, and he said, just look up there. He's talking to Jim White. Look up there, Jim. Look at all those people there. They're there, and they're always there. Now, that's generations ago, the 80s. And here we are today, doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that final word to you then, Matt, and Tommy Bones. Matt, thanks very much. Folks, thanks very much for listening. And if you've been watching on the YouTube channel, thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe, support the alternative view, support More Than 90 Minutes, and most importantly, keep supporting Celtic. Hail, hail.
Great. See you, Andrew.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.